Well, hello, everybody. Kurt Stubbs here. Season 2, episode 16 of The Drive to Dayton. We have finally arrived. It is state tournament week. It is almost impossible to believe that this is the final week of the high school basketball season. We have 3 days left, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at UD Arena. Kudos to UD Arena. They have the first four last night, tonight. They'll flip the entire arena and have it ready for us on Friday and ready to go for the 102nd Boys Basketball State Tournament. Gentlemen, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
This is actually, I feel like I'm pretty excited about, honestly, the majority of the tournament. And it's probably the first time in a few years that I felt this way, so... Definitely looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of different ways that this thing can go, and I'm excited to see which way it does.
Yeah, it should be a lot of competitive games this weekend at UD Arena. Regional round had a couple more blowouts than I think we were expecting. So hopefully we get some more competitive games this weekend.
I always say watching basketball is better than not watching basketball, so... Let's bring it on this week, man. Got the semifinals on Friday and Saturday, four state championship games on Sunday. And we're going to kick it off with this today. And TJ, I'll start with you. What are your top storylines heading into this weekend's state tournament?
One thing that really jumped out at me was, you know, Lutheran West being eliminated from the tournament. You know, we had talked all year about how I thought there were two legitimate contenders that I thought had the best chance of beating them along the way, and that was Kettering Alter and Shelby. They played Shelby probably earlier than they would have liked, but this is the route that they chose, and Shelby knocked them off in the regional final. And honestly, it made me a little bit more excited about Division II. I think an Alter Ursuline game in the semifinals, I think that's going to be a ton of fun. Two really talented teams, both young, return the vast majority of their rosters back next year even. And two teams that I haven't really seen a whole lot of. I've seen Ursuline once, seen Kettering Alter once. And I think it's going to be a little bit of clash of styles, two really good coaches. And yeah, I mean, that's just the semi. Then you got Shelby and Maysville on the other side. I think Division II became very, very interesting. As many people, including myself, kind of penciled Lutheran West into the Final Four, if not the state championship game. And obviously, you know, that's no longer the case. So Division II is really, really intriguing to me now. And man, a team that we've gotten accustomed to seeing down at UD Arena in Division I has been St. Ignatius. They didn't make it last year. They lost in the regional semis to Garfield Heights, but made it, I believe, the 2 years prior to that. We'll be returning down again this year, so three out of four. And I just keep asking myself, man, is this Ignatius's year to win it in Division I? I think they're probably the most complete team left in the field of four. They will be doing it without senior Sam Springer, an Air Force commit who had surgery over the weekend. He will be joining the team down in Dayton, but will not be able to play. But man, yeah, I'm just looking at Division I, and I'm just wondering if this is the year Ignatius gets it done.
Mike, what do you got as your top storylines heading into this weekend?
I got two teams I'm really curious about seeing how they perform. The first one is Rushi. I wasn't able to make it last year when they took on Richmond Heights, so this is really my first chance to see these kids in person. They've been playing with a ton of confidence, are blowing teams out, seem to be peaking at the right time. And looking at their highlights, I mean, they look like they have a lot of size, a lot of physical kids. It's going to be interesting to see if they can take care of the basketball, make it a half-court game, what they can do against the prohibitive favorite in Richmond Heights. And then the other team that I'm curious about is Toledo Whitmer. They got the win over Garfield Heights at the buzzer. We saw last year a Toledo team made it to the Division I semifinals, and that game wasn't very competitive at all. I'm very curious to see if Toledo Whitmer can get one in the semis and maybe bring the Division I state title back to Northwest Ohio. It's been a while since a Northwest District team has won the Division I title. With their talent at the guard spots, Toledo Whitmer and then also Rushi are the two teams I'm most curious to see in the semifinals and potentially in the finals.
Yeah, man, that's all good stuff. Toledo last won the big school 1990. Toledo Scott, Toledo McComber won it in 89 with Jim Jackson. So they had a nice little run there for a couple years, but it's been pretty dry. Toledo St. John's has been on the doorstep many times. 2004 probably should have won it. But, yeah, this would be a big weekend for Northwest Ohio. You know, I know Shelby's in the Northwest District. I wouldn't say they're exactly Northwest Ohio, but Ottawa, Glendorf, Shelby, Toledo, Whitmer, Lima Central Catholic, you know, all Northwest Ohio teams with really good chances down here in Dayton. For me,
what division was Toledo Libby the year when they made it down, when they had Buford and those guys?
Two. Yeah, they should have won that. Yeah. Yeah, so my storylines, I looked at Division III, Division IV. Obviously, the big one there is, can Richmond Heights three-peat? And we know that is really, really difficult to do. I believe only four teams have done it since 1922. So they would be the fifth. So you have Dayton Stivers. You have in the 28 to 30. You had North College Hill from 05 to 07. You had Moeller from 17 to 19. They didn't get a chance to four-peat in 20 with COVID, but it's really in Columbus Worley from 88 to 90. So it's
teams that won it 3 years in a row, or teams that went 3 years in a row?
Teams that won it three straight years.
Moeller didn't win in 2017, right? They lost to
Jackson. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. They lost to Jackson. So they won in 2018, 2019. They were going for the three-peat. So it's only three teams that have done it. So really, really hard to do. But Richmond Heights certainly has the arsenal to do it. I think they're going to be challenged a lot more than a lot of people think. You know, that's a huge game with Rushi in the semifinals. I know Rushi will be ready. I know Richmond Heights will be ready, especially after what happened last year, the first three quarters. But, you know, I asked you guys the other day, I still think Lima Central Catholic is going to be laying in the weeds waiting because their semifinal game, and I don't, you know, Highland's going to come out and play hard. But I just don't think that Highland has enough with the injuries to overcome LCC. And I have a feeling that Richmond Heights is going to get pushed on Friday night, at least for a while. So I think Sunday's championship game could be interesting. I know you guys differ on that, and, you know, they might come out and get routed. But
I haven't seen Lima Central Catholic personally. So that game is an intriguing matchup to me, just stylistically, two obviously athletic teams. Something I want to propose to you guys that I've been thinking about these last couple of days in regards to Rushi and Richmond Heights. To me, I feel like Rushi's best chance to, you know, to kind of slay the dragon was last year. I think Richmond Heights came into that game with Rushi not knowing what to expect. It's kind of a bit of a clean slate, right? You don't know anything about these guys outside of film. And then you walk out onto the floor and you see, I mean, what was just a sea of fans. I mean, that was such a, just from, you know, I'm sitting down at the media table, but I was a fan for that game. just quite frankly, because the environment was unbelievable. And I think Richmond Heights was honestly shell-shocked a little bit. They were down, I believe, like 4 or 5 points in the first quarter. Halftime, I believe they were up 3, and then they kind of blew it open a little bit in the second half. But I remember in the post-game presser, it was either Coach Rogers or one of the kids from Richmond Heights. They said they were just kind of caught off guard by the intensity that Rushi played with, the crowd that they brought, just the energy and intensity levels of that game. I don't think anybody on Richmond Heights is going to be caught off guard by Rushi this year. And I think they're coming into this game knowing what they're about to go up against. And, you know, we keep talking about how Rushi is going to push them. I mean, they very well could, but I don't know, man. Part of me thinks that Richmond Heights is going to kind of use this semifinal game to make a statement. And I think they very well could. I think that mystery element with Rushi is out the window. And I think Richmond Heights knows exactly what they're getting. And I think there's a good chance that they play up to it.
Yeah, I was curious about that because I think that's a good point that Rushi probably caught Richmond Heights off guard. I did go through Rushi's schedule last year to this year, and they've been considerably more dominant this season than they were last year, just in terms of margin of victory, how many close games. They only lost one game in the regular season. So I think that while your point I agree with, that Richmond Heights isn't going to be caught off guard, I do think this is a better Rushi squad than Richmond Heights saw last year.
Yeah, I think both of you make good points, and you can both and you can play that scenario out both ways. I do think that, you know, this Rushi team has just been dump trucking everybody. That Coach Cordonier talked about it. I was able to re-watch or re-listen to the coaches' teleconferences that were yesterday. I got the replay. And, you know, I think a big thing that he was talking about was a lot of their kids have grown, like physically grown, over the last year that has made them even more difficult to score on. You know, with a lot of guys at 6'3", 6'4", that are really versatile and long and strong. And then, you know, this is, you two guys would know this very well. Pretty much every coach, all 16 coaches that I listened to, when they were asked what the keys to victory were, one, we've got to limit live ball turnovers. Shocker. Two, we got to win the rebounding battle. Shocker. And then three was a variety of, like, we need to get efficient shots. We need to be us. We need to dictate the tempo. But everyone said the same two things. Limit live ball turnovers and win the battle on the boards. And I think you'll see down here in Dayton that's going to be – it's as simple as that. That's going to be the difference in these games when they're at this high level. And I think everybody's looking forward to that game. I think another thing is Lutheran East going for a repeat. But, I mean, the seventh consecutive time they've been in the Final Four, I mean, I think that's getting overlooked a little bit. That's really impressive from those guys. And that's been a combination of Anthony Jones and a combination of Sam Liggins, even though Coach Jones is still sitting on the bench with Sam. But that is really impressive to be able to do 7 straight years in the Final Four. And then is this the other storyline I had? Is this the year? You know, this is number 4 for Colin White. Is this the year that he gets it? You know, he's been semifinals in 21. They lost to Lutheran East. 22, they lost in a championship to Taft. Last year, they lost in a championship to Lutheran East. So here we go. And Tyson talked about it, like, you know, the year that they had it was 20. I don't think anybody in Division III was beating that team the COVID year. They were so good. So good.
They were head and shoulders above the rest of the field that year.
Yeah, and then you know, you think, okay, well, they lost quite a few guys. Well, here comes Colin White. And then you get 4 years of the best player that's ever played in a really good school. So I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of people in the crowd, you know, people that are Buckeye fans, OG fans that are going to be really pulling for him and OG to win that. But I think those are three really cool storylines to look at, and the ones you guys mentioned. But let's jump into last week real quick and just kind of talk about the week that was in the regionals. And Roth, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so I had a busy week. I was sort of all over the state. Started off on Tuesday and Wednesday at Bowling Green. The D4 at Bowling Green, Toledo Christian handled Pandora Gilboa. Toledo Christian just got efficient looks. All four of their main guys each in double figures. Pandora Gilboa, they had... I believe they were twins. Two seniors were their best kids. They did what they could to keep it competitive, but Toledo Christian pulled away. And then I saw Lima Central Catholic. They came out really strong against Old Fort, built a pretty big lead. Jordan Pretty and also Willie Foster are both pretty talented kids. Foster, one of the more impressive vertical athletes in the 2026 class. But then Lima Central Catholic also had a couple football kids who were strong. They got rebounds. They'll have a physical advantage against a wounded Berlin Highland squad. I think that might be the difference with a couple of their guys who just play around the paint, give them a rebounding edge, and also help them get out in transition. Then on Wednesday, I was at the D3 at BG alongside TJ. We saw Margaretta win a back-and-forth game with Worthington Christian. Margaretta got production from a handful of guys, but really it's been all about Julian Washington's rise. He just gets better and better every time I see him play. Only had 3 points in the first half and ended with, I believe, 26. Started making shots from the outside. Very impressive athlete, able to get to the rim. He's very flexible on his drives, can get low. Back finishes at the rim. He's got a ton of upside down the line. Then on Thursday, I went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame Village in Canton to see the Division II regional semis. Neither game was very competitive. Ursuline absolutely dominated VASJ. Jalen Gunther, this is my first chance to watch him. He's one of the top point guards in the freshman class in Ohio, just incredibly skilled. And Ursuline, they've got a bunch of guys who can make plays. They got a couple of seniors with some size. Jaden Payne had a big game. And then Canfield handled Warrensville Heights. It was a 2-point game, middle of the third quarter, and Canfield went on, I believe, a 25-5 run to blow that game open. Ursuline got Canfield for a second time this year to advance to the Final Four. And then on Saturday, me and TJ also were at Whitmer versus Garfield, a game with a lot of controversy now later, but Whitmer finds a way to advance. I thought sophomore Andre Young was really impressive on the defensive end, as Whitmer did a good job forcing Marcus Johnson into tough shots. And then I drove down to Dayton to see Alter versus Wyoming, and Alter looked like Alter looked unbeatable in the first half. I mean, with the way they shot the ball, they handled their business rebounding. Charlie Yule had 4 3-pointers in the first quarter. They took care of the basketball. I mean, Alter played a picture-perfect game against Wyoming as they advanced to the Final Four. They have a few days off from that game to their semifinal on Saturday, but if they can pick up where they left off, I find it hard to see any team beating them, but they played on Saturday at such a high level. So really impressed with Alter.
Roth, TJ, you want to jump in and hit your review?
Yeah, so before Brunswick's this absolute classic of a game against St. Ignatius, I got a chance to see them on what I believe was Tuesday against Glen Oak. A bit of a clunky, kind of ugly game in the first half. I thought Glen Oak's effort and toughness, you know, combined with their athleticism, kind of kept them around. But in the second half, man, just kind of talent, you know, won out. Brunswick was able to squeak by them. And then, man, they turned around and nearly beat Ignatius. I mean, they led for what felt like the entirety of that game before Ignatius took a lead late and held on to it. But, yeah, I was out at the D3 regional finals with Roth out at Bowling Green. And then I went back to BG again. So back-to-back nights in Northwest Ohio. I saw the D2 regional semis. So I saw Lutheran West play against Toledo Central Catholic. I thought Lutheran West was phenomenal offensively in the second half, really executed, kind of got back into their groove after was a up and down first half. And then the second game of the day, man, it was a weird game. So I saw Shelby against Lima Shawnee. And this was probably the first time I seen two things. One, I saw a kid score all 16 of his team's first half points. Usually when that happens, it's like, you know, it's a weird game, 10-8 at halftime, somebody's stalling the ball. But in a normal paced basketball game, I couldn't remember the last time I saw somebody score all 16 of their team's points, as sophomore Becky Berkey did for Shawnee to kind of keep them within striking distance. He didn't really slow down either. I mean, he ended up finishing with 41 out of their 50. I think to score 82% of your team's points in a regional semifinal is unreal. It seemed like Shelby a little bit fell asleep at the wheel in that game. They started off the game, I think they were up 19-5 at the end of the first quarter. Felt like it was going to be a big-time rout, to be honest. I thought it was going to be a 20-30-point game, but Lima Shawnee kind of hung around. Like I said, sophomore Becky Berkey was pretty high level that game. The Garfield Heights Whitmer game was, man, what an ending. The amount of people that called me, texted me about the ending of that game was just, it was nuts. It was a busy drive down to Columbus for me. I made a tweet about it earlier in the week, how excited I was for the Division I regional finals and how I was honestly more excited about those than possibly the Final Four. Man, I think my gut was pretty right. So you got Ignatius Brunswick, which was just absolutely insane down the stretch. You have Whitmer's last millisecond put back against Garfield Heights. You have Moeller and Centerville's double overtime classic. They saw Jonathan Powell hit a pull-up three with 7 seconds left in the double OT to kind of hold on and win that one. And then I went down to Columbus, back to Ohio Dominican, to see Olentangy Orange against Delaware Hayes. Really fun pace in the first half of that game, especially. Olentangy Orange, I believe, was up about 5 or 6 or so at halftime. It felt like a game that was still very much up for grabs. But, man, I got to give Stubbs some credit, man. Stubbs, all year, has mentioned the length of that Delaware Hayes 2-3 zone and how much it has affected and bothered teams this year. And, man, was that the case late in the game. I thought Olentangy Orange just kind of got thrown out of whack a little bit. They couldn't find their rhythm. And then Delaware Hayes on the other end just ended up making shots. So what was a game where they trailed going into the locker room, man, they came back out in that second half and just kind of completely took over. I believe they won by 18. Still a phenomenal game for about 3 quarters before Delaware Hayes had busted it open. But, man, fun regional tournament, guys. Saturday, just checking scores and constantly refreshing pages and, you know, getting text updates from you guys and our buddy Corey Albertson. Just a really, really fun day, and I'm hoping that this weekend can kind of match that or surpass it.
Well, look at that. How about that? On cue. So I made it to the land of Roth on Thursday, to Athens, Ohio, for a D2 pair of regional semifinal games. You had Maysville and Bishop Hartley in the opener. For much of the night, man, it just really looked like Bishop Hartley was going to advance. I was really impressed with the sophomore, Ja'Kai Calloway, just kind of his feel, his pace that he plays with, really smooth. You know, I thought Jaden Calloway was really good on the defensive end. Even on that last second shot that Bob hit, he was right there, right in his face. I thought the big difference was two things. One, I thought Hartley could have put this game away early. They missed a lot of inside baskets. Their bigs are not there yet. They're kind of got their hands aren't strong enough yet. They don't finish at an efficient level yet. But they've got some high upside with some of those guys inside, especially the freshman. I think he's going to be a pretty good player down the road. But I thought that they could have put that game away if they make some of those early. And then in the second half, Maysville gets a huge effort from sophomore Jordan Watson. He was really – like, I know Bob will get a lot of the pub, you know, especially being on ESPN, top 10 with the shot he made, which was incredible. But Jordan Watson was the guy that allowed them to even be in that position to win that game. So, you know, kudos to him. Sophomore played really well. Alex Bob, obviously, you know, he's big shot Bob for a reason. And he, I mean, he buried that, you know, kissed it off the glass, two or three guys. Everybody in the arena knew he was getting the ball, which is the crazy part. But, you know, Coach Dave Brown at Maysville, he lost four starters off that team from last year that was 24-2. And, you know, he, one of those guys was Hayden Jarrett, which is was the all-time leading scorer. And then he comes back this year with Bob and then, you know, a new cast of characters, three sophomores that are or at least playing a ton of minutes, and he makes it to Dayton this year with that team. And then in the nightcap, you know, you get Vincent Warren and Tri-Valley, which was just a slugfest. I thought the difference in that game was the guard for Warren was really good. I think his last name is Standelman, Julian Standelman. Really, really good junior. And then Trent Taylor was Tri-Valley just really didn't have an answer to Trent Taylor inside. The Eric Neal kid got in foul trouble for Tri-Valley. That really hurt them. But they are not like extremely skilled Tri-Valley, just big, strong, beat you up. And Warren was able to combat that. And then Warren, you know, on Saturday has a 15-point lead. I think it was 17 at halftime. And here comes Maysville again, scored 55 points in the second half. 55 in the second half, a regional final game to advance. You know, they're down by 17 and end up winning by 8, which is crazy. But yeah, so it was a pretty good night at the regional.
Yeah, shout out.
Is there
like an echo or something on your side?
Yeah, I've been trying to like avoid it. I've been muted when I haven't been talking.
Yeah, mute yourself, Rob.
Mute yourself.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah, so pretty good D2 Athens regional. Always a fun time to go down to the Convocation Center. But I'm going to do this. Since we're on the regional week, let's do our players and teams of the week, and then we'll look at games, and we can kind of just, you know, break these games down. That. Heading into Dayton. So, TJ, I'll start with you. Who was your player and team of the week for this past week?
Player of the week, I went with the kid whose name you guys have heard quite a bit from the beginning of the season to the end of the season now. I went with Colin White. So he's a kid. He was the first Mr. Basketball winner from Putnam County. And I got a chance to see them in the regional semis against Emmanuel Christian. And he absolutely set the tone. I believe he had 17 points in the first quarter, didn't miss a single shot from the field. Ottawa Glendorf would go on to win 70-49. And then he turned around and had another really good showing against Margaretta in the regional final to make it back to what's now a fourth consecutive trip to the Final Four. Just an unbelievable stretch. I don't care how good you are, which teams you have to play to get there. To get to the Final Four four straight times, man, is unbelievable. And that kid who has been a key contributor from his freshman year all the way to now, just shout out to Colin White and Mr. Basketball. And my team of the week, a team I just got done speaking about, I went with Delaware Hayes. I thought they beat two of not only the probably top three best teams in Columbus, but probably two of the top eight teams in the state of Ohio, in Hillary Bradley and Olentangy Orange. And to beat those two guys by a combined 34 points, I think that they're playing a really good brand of basketball right now. And they will play St. Ignatius on Saturday in the semis. We should be for a damn good basketball game.
Roth?
I went with Jalen Gunther as my player of the week. Ursuline dominated their regional competition, and Gunther had a game high 24 points versus game high 16 points versus Canfield to help lead his team to Dayton. And then my team of the week was Lima Central Catholic. They handled business against Old Fort easily thanks to a fast start and strong transition play, and also got a tight win over Toledo Christian in what I was following on Twitter seemed like absolute battle to win Northwest Division 4, as it always is. So shout out to Lima Central Catholic, but we kind of skipped over it, Stubbs, thanks to two collapses in Athens by South Webster and also Warren. Stubbs was the champion of the regional picks, so congrats to Stubbs. He got 12 right, me and TJ with 9, so didn't want to let that get skipped over. I know everybody was eagerly awaiting to find out who won the regional picks. It was Stubbs, so wanted to give him his credit for that. But yeah, shout out to Jalen Gunther and Lima Central Catholic, my player and team of the week.
For me, my player of the week was Ronald Taylor of Lutheran East. He did Ross Fairview Park team dirty, 35 points, 7 3-pointers in a win over Fairview Park. We don't have to mention the score. And then on Saturday, in a really hard-fought battle that got interesting late, he scored 10 points, and I mentioned that because he was the only Lutheran East player that finished in double figures with 10 points, and they were able to – that lead got cut to 7 against Mooney, and they were able to hang on and end up winning by 13. But, you know, he was able to get 10, but they had like 4 or 5 other guys that had like 9, 8, 7, real balanced attack from Lutheran East, and here they are, 7 straight Final Four appearances. And then my team of the week, I wasn't sure if I had picked them, and I hadn't. Berlin Highland, man, I don't know if you can just say enough about these guys. I completely forgot that, or maybe just didn't really think about it. They lost their point guard, Ashton Schrock, before the season even started. He's not even played a game for them. Then they lose Alex Yoder. I believe they lost him against Ottawa Glandorf, and then they lose Connor Beachy, their best defender, in game 21 of the season. So basically 3 starters down when they start the tournament, and Schleyball's got them back in the state tournament. They beat Northside Christian pretty handily by 21. And then they, as Roth alluded to, they erased a 23-7 lead or deficit to South Webster, forced overtime, and then they were able to beat them. And once it got to overtime, I knew Highland was winning. They weren't going to lose that game in overtime. But I don't care what your path was. That's incredible to lose 3 starters and still make state tournament at a legit Division IV school.
In any division, I mean, but yeah, especially right. at Four level, that's unheard of.
And then on top of that, Sammy Detweiler missed 7 games early in the season as well. So it was a trying season for the Hawks.
Yeah, that's for the Hawks. That's when they racked up a couple regular season losses, I think. And I think some people were kind of maybe jumping off the Hawks bandwagon. But then when they got him back and before they lost their other two starters to injury, I mean, they were rolling. They were playing really, really good basketball.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys would agree, but I mean, that, like, right around the time they had played Wayne Trace and just butchered them, and then played, because I believe Wayne Trace was still fully healthy at that point, and then they played Ottawa Glandorf, I was thinking, you know what, maybe Highland is, like, right there in that Rushi category as far as, like, you know, that level. But, you know, it just stinks to see guys, like, no matter what team it is, it just stinks to see guys go down, especially seniors. Yoder and Beachy, this is their final go around. But another outstanding job by Coach Slayball at Highland. So shout out to Ronald Taylor and the Highland Hawks.
I like that Highland actually really challenged themselves this year. You know, obviously going to play, you know, Wayne Trace. They went out of their way to, you know, invite Lutheran East to come down and play in their holiday event. So it just seems like they've had a major chip on their shoulder. They showed it with their schedule. They've showed it with their toughness and resilience throughout the season, despite losing guys. And this is a team, man, if you like defense, I don't know how you can watch these guys play and just not really appreciate what they do. They're about as tough-nosed, physical, and as disciplined of a defensive team as you'll probably see all season long.
Yep.
So I think just with that alone, man, they have a shot virtually against almost anybody.
All right, good stuff, gentlemen. Let's do this. We'll start with Friday. We open up the tournament with the Division IV games. You got Highland at 22-6 against Lima Central Catholic at 26-2. And Richmond Heights at 17-9 against Rushi at 27-1. Roth, I'll start with you. Give me your two semifinal winners, and then your champion.
I am gonna take Lima Central Catholic in the opener. I think that if Highland was fully healthy, this would be a tight game. I'd probably even favor the Hawks if they were at full strength. But with the injuries that they're dealing with, I think Lima Central Catholic is a little too physical for them. And I just think that Lima Central Catholic gets a little bit too much out in transition. But I think that LCC is going to struggle to score in the half court. So I still think this one's going to be pretty competitive. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the fourth quarter it's a two-possession game going down the wire. And then in the second game, I'm going to take Rushi plus 9.5. So we're keeping it single digits against Richmond Heights. I think that'll surprise some people. Not going to pick against the Spartans straight up. I mean, they're the Kings going for their third straight state title. I think they're going to do it. But I think with the way this Rushi team is playing, Stubbs, you mentioned that their kids grew physically, and I think it shows when you look at their highlights. I mean, they look like a team that's not going to get bullied around. They're going to come in determined. Once again, like DJ mentioned, they're not going to catch Richmond surprise. What they are going to have is a huge crowd advantage once again. I think it's going to be probably similar to last year, where it's a 1-2 basket game going into the fourth quarter. Maybe Richmond Heights pulls away a little bit, but I'll take Rushi plus 9.5 to keep it as a single digit game. I will take Richmond Heights over Lima Central Catholic, but I kind of mentioned this in my article. This might be a setup similar to the Division I Final Four last year, where you had Centerville and Pickerington Central, and everybody just sort of handed the trophy to the winner of that game before the weekend started. And then Archbishop Hoban had with Toledo St. John's and had a ton of energy to play against Pick Central the next day. The one difference is Rushi or Richmond Heights are going to have a full day of rest in between games. They don't have to go back to back. I think that's going to be the difference. So I am going to take Richmond Heights over Lima Central Catholic. I'll take the favorites.
Oh, man. I actually have Richmond Heights over Berlin Highland in the state championship game. I can't do all that big enough to coach and then pick against them, baby. That's not how I get down. So give me Berlin Highland over Lima Central Catholic. And, guys, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, and I probably am, man. I've had a long-ass week. Excuse the cussing. But, man, I am this close to picking Rushi. I don't know why. I don't know. My gut has been kind of fighting against my brain on that, I feel like, all week. But I am going to go with Richmond Heights, and I will be actually devastated if Rushi does find a way to win and I win against him. But, yeah, give me Richmond Heights over Berlin Highland, what I think is going to be a very interesting game for at least a few quarters.
Yeah, the only guy that may be a little bit more devastated than you would be me if I pick Richmond Heights. Man, you guys made some good points analyzing those games. The one that keeps sticking out of me is I keep envisioning, do you guys remember that St. V. Lima Shawnee game? When we, you know, maybe you guys didn't, but I thought we were seeing like the game of the year.
Oh, I did too.
And St. V. just massacred them.
I had seen Lima Shawnee like two or three times that year.
Yeah.
I was a really big George Mangus fan, and the Elver kid in the middle. I like that whole team. And I was a big, like, I'm saying, hey, guys, this game's going to be close. And man, I couldn't have been any more wrong. At no point in that game did it feel like Lima Shawnee had a chance.
Yeah, so I'm, man.
Who is going to be the Austin Raymond?
That's a good
one. Because Austin Raymond didn't miss a shot that day. He had the game of his life. So, if Richmond Heights finds Austin Raymond, it won't be close.
Yeah, that guy could be Damaris Winters.
No brainer.
I want a classic. But I'm going to take Richmond Heights. And then I've been just thinking about it, LCC, laying in the weeds. But, man, my brain's telling me, don't be stupid, Stubbs. Don't be stupid. Don't be the smartest guy in the room. I'm going to go with Richmond Heights. They're going to three-peat. And that's... that's all there is to it. All right. Okay. We're going to move to Division III, guys. Harvest Prep against Ottawa Glandorf, 23-4 against 24-3. These are Friday evening games. And then Preble Shawnee against Lutheran East. That is 24-3 against 21-5. TJ, I'll start with you here. What do you like? Who do you like in these semis, and who's your champ?
I think the stars will need to be aligned for Preble Shawnee to knock off Lutheran East. Obviously, they'll have one of the best players on the floor. One of the Mr. Basketball finalists, and Mason Shrout, a kid who I've been watching for nearly his entire career. And, man, that kid is capable of having a really, really, really big night. But I think they're going to need about two or three guys to have a good night. Like, I think freshman Knox Mills is going to have to make shots. Senior Logan Hawley is going to have to be – he's going to have to be locked in matching up against Jesse McCullough from Lutheran East. But give me the Falcons in that one. I would say pretty handily. But shout-out to Preble Shawnee, man. Love coach over there. Great guy, great group. And man, those guys compete regardless of what happens, man. I hope they're extremely proud of themselves. And it's really cool to see a kid like Mason, who I've been praising for a few years, you know, make it down to the Final Four in what is his last season of high school basketball. But hurts my heart, man. But I'm going with the guys up at Luther and East in that one. The matchup with OG and Harvest Prep, I think, is very interesting. I think if Ottawa Glandorf, this is going to go right back to the coaches' teleconference, like you said. I think it's really going to boil down to how well those guys handle pressure. If they take care of the basketball, especially in the first 5 to 6 minutes of that game, just kind of set the tone that they're not going to be rattled and you're not just going to be able to run and jump us and speed us up. If OG comes out composed and physical and locked in like they typically are, I'm going to roll with Otto Glandorf here. But I do think Harvest Prep is athletic enough, and they have a lot of really good guards, and they can make things really interesting and throw a wrench into the OG Luther and East collision course that we've all kind of been expecting throughout the year. I think Harvest Prep is very, very capable of winning that game, but I'm going to go with Oliver Glandorf. Man, I went with OG in the beginning of the year to win Division III. I think it was our very first show, and then I switched it to Luther and East. And now I got those two guys matching up in the state championship game. Oh, man. Give me Ottawa Glandorf. I'm taking the dogs, man. I'm taking the underdogs in this one. I think if that game is tight, if that's a, you know, two-possession game late in the fourth, give me OG. But I do think Luther Nisa is very, very capable of busting that game open in the beginning and OG kind of fighting and scratching and clawing their way back into it. But if that game is close with 2 minutes or less to go, I have a hard time seeing Ottawa Glandorf lose that game.
Roth?
All right, I got 10 minutes before I got to go back into Rupp Arena for the Kentucky Sweet 16, so I'm going to go quick through D. Yeah, sorry. I'm going to go quick through D3, D2, and D1. Starting in D3, I think Lutheran East over Preble Shawnee. We're going to rank the games. I had that one at 8. I think this is a mismatch. I am excited to see the crowd that Preble Shawnee brings, see Mason Shrout at UD Arena. Should be a fun atmosphere to witness, but I'm personally not giving Preble Shawnee much of a chance. Maybe we'll clip this and laugh if Preble Shawnee wins. Then you're talking about OG versus Harvest Prep. It's all going to come down to if Ottawa Glandorf can avoid live ball turnovers, like you mentioned. I think that if it's a half-court game, OG is going to win. They handled Emmanuel Christian's pressure. I think Harvest Prep is better defensively than Emmanuel Christian, but I still think OG is going to do enough. And maybe it's because Lutheran East beat by Fairview Warriors by 41. Maybe it's a little sour grapes. But I'm switching my pick. I'm going with the Titans, too. I'm sorry, Coach Jones. Maybe you rubbed me the wrong way when you beat Fairview by 41, but we're switching it up. we're going with the Titans. And then in Division II, yeah, I guess so. In Division II, Shelby versus Maysville. I'm excited to see Maysville. I saw them last year, like you mentioned. Knowing that they had so many seniors last year, I'm amazed they're back in this position. I mean, incredible coaching job to get to Dayton after losing so many starters. I was a huge Hayden Jarrett fan. I think their run comes to an end against Shelby. And then in the second game, two teams I saw last week, I should have as good of a read on this matchup as anybody. No, I really have no idea what happened in the month of February with Kevin Alter. They had some shocking results, but what I saw on Saturday, they look like the state champions. So maybe it's recency bias, but I'm picking Kettering Alter to win D2 over Shelby. And then quickly in Division 1, I know I picked against St. Ignatius in the regional round. That was a mistake. Hopefully I learned from my lesson, because I'm going to go St. Ignatius over Delaware Hayes. I think that's going to be a really interesting game. A little bit of clash of styles. Both teams are very big, though. Even without Sam Springer, you got a lot of size on the court. That game's going to be won in the half court. And I think it comes down to, can St. Ignatius make shots from the outside? You're going to need Quinn Wodke, Jack Sapolnik, and Damon Friary to hit shots from three-point range for the Wildcats to win. I think they hit enough, so give me St. Ignatius. And then on the other side, I'm going to take Whitmer over Centerville. I wasn't super impressed with Centerville this season. They've had some head-scratching losses. Tough to pick against Brook Cups again in a big game. I just picked against them when they played Bowler, but I like these guards for Toledo Whitmer. And one of the most overused cliches is you win in March with good guards. And I feel like Whitmer has guards to win in March. So I'm going to take Toledo Whitmer over Centerville. And then I am going to go with St. Ignatius over Toledo Whitmer in the Division I title game. I think that the size, just like you saw with Garfield Heights against Toledo Whitmer, DeAndre Jones had a really big day on the interior. I think Reese Robinson and Damon are going to have a big game if that's the matchup. And I think the difference is St. Ignatius can more easily get into their looks in the half court compared to what Garfield Heights did. So I'm going to take St. Ignatius over Toledo Whitmer. Those are my D1, D2, and D3 picks. You guys go kill it the rest of the episode. I'm taking.
See you, Roth. All right.
I'm feeling lighter, man. just lost some dead weight off the show. Getting rough. So where did we leave off? I think we just got done picking our D3.
So I have not picked D3 yet. So I'll pick my D3s. I'm glad that you guys went first. It gave me some time to not mess it up. And the more I thought about the Harvest Prep OG game, Harvest Prep doesn't have a ton of size. So I think, as you guys mentioned, if OG can, limit the turnovers and not let them – turnovers are bad, but they're worse when they get converted into points. So you can't let Harvest Prep get those run-out baskets that Malvern saw happen to them in the second half. I'm going to go with OG in that first game. I'm not completely confident in it. And then I'm with you guys, Lutheran East. I think well, here's what's going to happen, TJ. I think Mason Shrout is going to come out and put on a show early, and maybe get a little bit. Now, here's the thing with Shrout. He doesn't wear down. He could play all day long. But he's the guy that's got to create for others. He's going to have to rebound it. And then you lose your second leading scorer in the Isaac Blankenship kid. That's not good when you're heading in to play a team of Lutheran East caliber. And I think eventually Lutheran East will pull away. And then in the finals, man, we've did this a couple times. I've stayed true to Lutheran East. I'm not switching that pick. I just think they have such a good culture at Lutheran East. They do a great job. Jesse McCall is just a great kid and obviously a really good player, and he's taken huge strides even from last year. I just think he's going to be the ultimate difference in that game if he's able to stay out of foul trouble, stay on the floor. And if they get that production from Ronald Taylor and Brashers and Bruce – they're gonna be a handful, and I'm gonna give Lutheran East the nod over OG in a rematch of last year's state championship game.
Yeah, so last year when I think about that Lutheran East team, I think having a guy like Cody Head, who could just, you know, go make a play when things broke down, incredibly shifty, creative with the basketball. You know, he could shoot it, he could get to the rim, he could finish, he could make a play for somebody else. I think Lutheran East has a touch of that with freshman Chris Hill. But man, I just don't know. When OG, if they start pressuring and being physical with these guys in the half court, the thing with big guys, man, they can't pass themselves the basketball.
Yeah.
So if you can really pressure guards, make them uncomfortable, find a way to, you know, kind of speed things up a little bit. And the big guys can often get lost in the sauce, you know, and have to go offensive rebound or rim run, you know, whatever the case may be. So I'll be very curious to see how OG, you know, attacks that, how they try to limit Jesse McCullough, because I think that's going to be the ultimate difference. But should be a phenomenal game if it happens. Like I said, I think Harvest Prep is very capable of throwing a wrench into that. But once again, for what feels like the fifth consecutive year, the D3 tournament is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we have, what, three Mr. Basketball finalists in the Division III tournament?
Yep.
We didn't mention that in our storylines earlier, but I think that's pretty cool and just kind of makes for some, you know, an opportunity to see some really fun basketball.
Yeah. I mean, you just look, you know, the two semifinal games the last 2 years with OG and Afrocentrics have been classics.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we could be in for the same thing with them at Harvest Prep this
Those
year.
Those might
well.
Be some of my favorite games of the last few years.
Yeah.
When I think back to the state tournament, those matchups immediately come to mind.
For
you know,
Daylon
Swain, Colin White, you know, Theo Mag had a really, really good weekend a year ago. Just the Division III has been very underappreciated in regards to the leading up to the state tournament.
All right, let's do Division II. We got 21-7 Kettering Alder against 24-3 Youngstown Hirslen. Two teams that are coming in, I mean, just playing at a high, high level. Another team playing at a high level, 25-2 Shelby against 25-3 Maysville in the other D2 semifinal. What do you like here, TJ?
Oh, man, I was thinking about this a little bit earlier. I mean, Youngstown Hirslen shot the absolute cover off the ball in those two regional games. And a part of me is wondering if having almost an entire week off before they play in the semis, like, I don't know, man. Sometimes that hot hand can run a little bit cold. But, man, they do have just a plethora of talent. And like I mentioned earlier, outside of Jaden Payne, virtually all these guys come back. They have three freshmen that see a lot of minutes. Two of them, I believe one starts, maybe two. They have a sophomore off the bench who's intriguing. They have a junior, Deshaun Will. I mean, they just have a lot of guys that can make plays, can make shots. But I'll be curious to see how that rest affects them. Since they've been playing their best basketball this season. But I'm going to go with Kettering Alder here. I think they just had too deep. They have seniors. They have guys who have played in big games. And they can, like Roth mentioned earlier, they can flat out shoot it. And coach down there runs phenomenal sets. I got a chance to watch them at Flying to the Hoop. And it was almost like watching the college team at times in terms of what they ran, you know, the baseline out of bounds, sideline out of bounds. You know, just being able to put guys, your best guys, in position to be successful coming off the action. I think RJ Greer is really rolling right now. And just the way that they beat Cincinnati, Wyoming kind of caught me off guard. I expected that to be a really close game, and they kind of just, you know, boat raced them. So I'm going to go with Alder over Hirslen, but that's one of the games I'm actually most excited for this weekend. And then I'm going to go with Shelby over Maysville. Maybe a little recency bias, maybe the fact that I haven't seen Maysville in person this year, but I am going to go with Shelby. I think they have a lot of confidence coming off that second half against Lutheran West. And Alex Bruscotter, man, is just, I think he's a man on a mission. I think he's going to be the best player on the floor. I think his size and versatility at 6'7" is going to be a major difference. And in the finals of that game, oh, man, I don't know. I want to go with Shelby, man. I really do. just because the seniors and the leadership they have. But I'm going to give the slightest of edge to Kettering Alter, a team that I've mentioned all year, you know, despite the ups and downs, still have a chance, even though I went against them a couple of times. That team just has a lot of weapons on the offensive end. So I'm going to go with Alter, slight edge over Shelby in the state championship.
Yeah, man, you got redemption to come back and take Kettering Alder and when it matters, the final week here. I'm going to vary a little bit here. I love, Coach Gunther's a defensive-minded coach. He is. And I think if they can dictate the pace, if they can control the boards, I think they can get the game to their liking. I do agree with you. Alter runs a lot of great action. They have a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. But it's just something about this freshman, Gunther, Jalen Gunther. I don't know, man. He's just a different cat. And
kind of boxy for a young guy, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
His confidence and feel. He looks like he belongs out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Ursulin in this game, and then in the second game I'm gonna take Shelby as well. I do think a lot like Shroud. I think Bob has potential to put on a show in this game. About the first time he chucks one of those 30 footers, you know, the crowd is gonna go wild. But I just think Shelby has too much. Size, length. I mean, Russ Goddard, they got him playing point. I mean, he's gonna be a problem. So I got Shelby and Ursulin in the finals. And man, I think Ursulin's gonna come out of nowhere and win this state title. And we know Youngstown, man, just really hasn't been a major player at the state tournament, that Youngstown area. And this is one of their, you know, they're bell cows. And I think Ursulin, on the 30th anniversary of their 94 state championship, they're going to cut them down this weekend.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, so give me Ursulin in Division II. And then Division I, man, this is going to be fun. We've got Delaware Hayes against Cleveland St. Ignatius, and we got Whitmer against Centerville. For me, you know, part of this is definitely my relationship with the head coach at Hayes. It goes back a long, long time. But I just feel like they are a team of destiny, man. I don't know what it is. Who would have thought they would have beat Bradley by 16 and then Orange by 18? Yeah, you could see them. Like, I picked them to win a region. I just didn't see that happening.
I was down there on Saturday. Halftime of that game, Orange hit a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 5 at half. And if anything, it almost felt like only 10G Orange was in control of that game.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, man, just, you know, Coach made a phenomenal adjustment in the second half and they blew it open. But certainly, like you mentioned, was not expected. The way that first half was played, man, I'm thinking, man, you know, D1 regionals finals, man, or it's about to go 4-for-4 because I thought we were about to get another just classic down to the wire game. And Delaware Hayes had other plans.
Yeah. And you know, Ignatius is played some really tough teams. That Brunswick team was very, very good. If people don't know, but I look at this Hayes team, and you know, it's kind of like 2022. Pick Central came out, Central District beat Upper Arlington pretty good, and then just ripped Gahanna Lincoln in the regional final with Sean Jones. So I feel like, you know, Coach Vincenzo said it on a teleconference, they are coming down there as a confident team. They're not there to just be a participant. They're coming down to compete and to come down to win. I think that Hayes is going to win. I do. I think they can match Ignatius' size, which not a whole lot of teams in Ohio can do. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, it's going to come down to like the guard mat, like, you know, how does, I think Jake Lohman is Hayes is like, I think he's the biggest key for Hayes because he does so many things.
He has been a major X factor because he's such a mismatch. He's a bit undersized, right? Maybe legit 6'4".
Yep.
And can play either the four or the five spot for them. But when you got a guy who's that big and just has incredible feel, a kid who can just control the game with his passing alone, a guy who doesn't even have to score to be the best player on the floor for stretches, I think Jake Lohman has been phenomenal, especially in that district final against Reynoldsburg. And then another guy who we haven't really mentioned a ton on this show, but has been a bit of an unsung hero in all three Delaware Hayes games I've seen this year. Sophomore Jeremiah Russell is pretty dang on good, man.
He's got the green light.
But he doesn't overdo it. I don't think he forces the issue offensively. He plays with great pace and composure. He's a sneaky defender. You know, he'll pick you up full court, make you work for it a little bit. He can make shots if he's playing off the ball. He's slippery, you know, dribble drive guy. Man, they just have a lot of dudes, man. And then even fellow sophomore Chase Griggs, you know, had a ton of plays in that first half to keep them within striking distance against Orange, which eventually led them to making a big run. I think Chase Griggs had like maybe 5 or 7 in that first half.
Yeah.
So just a lot of guys who can unexpectedly or expectedly make plays, and you factor that in to having two Division I caliber players with senior Jesse Burris and junior Landon Vanderwalker. Delaware Hayes is more than capable of winning this game, and they can get hot. I'm telling you, that went from a 4-point game to a 22-point game really quick against Olentangy Orange. It was before you even realized what was going on.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. Great teams always have guys that know who they are, and they know who the other guys on the team are. And Hayes has that. They have guys like that Pyatt Brown kid, like guys that just know who – what they are capable, they know their limitations, they know what they bring to the table, and they play so daggone hard. But like, to me, it's all about Lohman. Lohman is like, when he brings the ball up the floor, he's so hard, it's so hard to take it off of him because he's so big and he uses his body well. Yep.
He'll put his back to you.
Yeah, he'll old school you, little big boy you, and you know,
make a phenomenal skip to, you know, a wide open shooter in the corner. He's been great.
And a lot of people talk about Burris being a 4-year starter. Well, Lohman is a 4-year starter as well. He's been around a long time. And this is, you know, they were fortunate to get Vanderwalker, but this is a team that's been building towards this. You know, they gave the keys to Burris as a freshman. Sophomore year, they play you know, they get knocked out by Pick Central up at Centerburg. Last year, they get beat in the district final by a really good Orange team. So they've been climbing the ladder, and here they are. And I think we're going to see a really good game. But I'm going to go with Hayes. And in the second game, man, I just – you know, I'm hearing Roth on the two guards. That's definitely a big key. But there's the Brook Cup factor. And they seem to be playing really well right now. And so I'm gonna take Centerville in the second game. The finals, man, as I said earlier, I think Hayes is a team of destiny, man. I'm going to pick Hayes to win it all.
Wow, big. One thing about Delaware Hayes before I make my picks, I think I said this a few months ago during one of our first few episodes, or maybe it was during one of our summer shows. I was down at the University of Dayton team camp back in June. And I think I even tweeted this. I'll have to see if I can go find it. But this was before Landon Vanderwalker got out there. This is the middle of June. I'm watching Delaware Hayes in the back gym against a talented Akron Booklet team. And when I tell you, these guys shot the cover off the basketball. I mean, just unreal shot-making display. But to me, that wasn't what was most impressive. Obviously, you know, I've seen teams make shots before. But just how these guys celebrated each other, how they rooted for each other, how guys were so quick and willing to make that extra pass. or to go dive on the floor for a loose ball. It was so refreshing just to watch a team of guys with no ego who just wanted to watch each other succeed and make plays, and they rooted for each other. I don't think it's any coincidence that Delaware Hayes has made it this far and had the great season that they did after what I saw them do in the summer. It's with that being said, though, this is kind of, I think I am going to go with St. Ignatius. But, man, I think that's a game that could go either way. I think it's going to be – it's going to boil down to which team can make shots on the outside. I'm going to be curious to see what Ignatius does when Delaware Hayes switches into that 2-3 zone, and just see what Delaware Hayes does when, you know, Landon Walker's not able to get those second and third chance opportunities. And if he does, they're not going to be as frequent. So it's going to be a very interesting game. Two of the better coaches in Ohio, two of the better teams, obviously. That's probably the semifinal game that I think I'm most excited for, just because I think it's such a coin flip game. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I'm going to go with Centerville. They were my original pick to win the region. And then I switched it. I flipped to Moeller. Should have trusted my gut and stuck with Centerville. So I'm going to go with an Ignatius Centerville state championship game.
That'd be fun.
These two teams played, I believe it was Flying to the Hoop weekend. Went to double overtime. It was like 98-92 or 96-90.
Let's do that.
Two OTs.
Yeah.
Jonathan Powell has 34 points. Junior Eli Greenberg has 28. Junior Quinn Wokey on Ignatius has a huge game. Sends a catch and shoot or pull up three to send it to overtime at the buzzer. I mean, it sounded like it was just a remarkable game. So selfishly, I'm hoping that we get to see a rematch of that. And I am going to go with Ignatius. I do think this is Coach Joyce's year. I think those guys figure it out. They've been down here too many times. They played in too many big games. I think they're finally clicking. And to me, that game against Brunswick was huge for their confidence. Here you are, you're losing and trailing the majority of the game. Your back's against the wall. It looked like they were about to be eliminated. As I'm following the updates, it just felt like Brunswick was in control.
Yep.
Next thing I know, I refresh it. Ignatius is up one. They go on to win it. I just think a win like that does so much for your confidence because, hey, if you could come back after trailing 90% of the game, I don't think there's anything that anybody can throw at you down here in Dayton that you haven't seen or haven't prepared for. So give me Ignatius, slight edge over Centerville and slight edge over Delaware Hayes. But, man, Division I is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited, and I honestly think that all four of these teams realistically could win it. I would say Whitmer probably be the team I would give the lowest chance to. But still, when you have two Division I guys, a plethora of college basketball players, you know, those guys can get hot. I'd be curious to see how they execute in a half-court setting. And I think almost every team involved is going to make them have to do that. So that's what it's going to boil down to for me. But give me Ignatius, slight edge over Centerville, Division I state championship game.
I think it should also be known that 2 years ago when Ignatius was at the state tournament and was in the semifinals, Coach Joyce was playing three sophomore guards a lot of minutes. And guess what? None of those kids are at Ignatius.
That's the crazy thing. They very well all could be. Ace Buckner, who went the prep school route to La La Mire, Carter Jackson, who went to Garfield Heights as a senior, CJ Little, who went to Garfield Heights as a junior. Just think about the roster that they would have had those guys stayed put. But then again, I mean, we wouldn't have seen – maybe we don't see Quinn Wokey emerge.
Yep.
And be one of the best juniors, not only in Northeast Ohio, but Ohio. And then there's a kid who would have been buried on that bench, who I think is an absolute stud, one of the better unsigned kids in Ohio, and senior Jackson Ponick. So it just goes to show you, man, the plethora of talent that's just walking the hallways of St. Ignatius. When you can lose – three scholarship level guys, all three of those guys they've lost are all signed to play Division I or Division II basketball. And you just bring in two more guys who are just so happen to develop into two of the better guards in the area. So, yeah, just crazy to think about.
Well, TJ, it's been a good show, man.
Oh, man, how many more of these we got, man? Obviously, we're going to do one more.
Yeah, one more, man, and we'll...
I'm not sleeping my life away on Monday. You know, hopefully we can get a show in.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to feel weird on Mondays getting home and, you know, and not having to get notes ready or,
right,
you know, think about players of the week or, you know, just go through these damn box score, college box scores like a scavenger hunt to find an alumni guy.
Yes.
I'm definitely not going to miss that, by the way. But man, yeah, it's definitely going to feel weird having quite a few Sundays off. Hopefully we can all get together some point in June. Maybe talk about some of the Scholastic live period stuff, get a little bit of a preview for the 24-25 season. If you guys want us to keep doing this, I mean, obviously, you know, I appreciate everybody who watches this. Apologize for the little rant that's about to come, but it is so cool, man. And much of what we do is for love. Just three guys who are just absolutely crazy about high school basketball in Ohio. Three guys who see a lot of games, watch a lot of games, do a lot of homework and our due diligence. So it means a lot to us, man, when somebody I've never met recognizes me, makes a funny comment about my district picks or, you know, tells me how much taller I am in real life than I am on the show. Every single one of those views, man, means so much to us. I don't think you guys are aware of that. We make literally zero money doing the show.
Yep.
And we take several hours out of our week and out of our day to do this. So just even those little comments, man, the tweets, it feels like we have like a small core of like faithful weekly listeners, man. Shout out to every single one of you guys. I'm not even going to try and name you all, but appreciate the interaction, whether it's in person, social media, in the YouTube comments, whatever it is. But if you guys want us back, man, let us know. This is a lot of fun and just getting to talk ball with two guys that I really respect and appreciate. But yeah, like I said, it's definitely a sacrifice. Stubbs, as a family, he's a full-time teacher, similar to me, right? We have a lot on our plates, lesson planning, grading, work meetings, right? Stressful days, kids who cannot, kids who have days where they don't want to be too kind. You know, so for us to get home and, you know, jump online for a couple hours, it's a break, but it's also a pretty big sacrifice. And just thanks. You know, just a huge thank you from me to you guys. If you happen to see any of us down at Dayton, don't hesitate to say hello or tell us when we were wrong or when we were right. I'd love to hear it. So thanks for watching, guys, as always.
Yeah, man. Couldn't say it any better, TJ. All right. So for my guy, that was perfectly said. TJ Petros, Mike Roth, who's in somewhere in Rupp Arena right now, Kurt Stubbs, man. Look forward to seeing you guys in Dayton this weekend.
See you.